Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word. Thank you that, as Peter writes earlier in his letter, the Old Testament prophets predicted the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. Thank you that we now can see all that and trust in Jesus. And just as what they wrote looked forward to help believers in Peter's day, so it does us. And what Peter wrote now helps us today. And so we pray that you would speak to us through your word and encourage and build us up and challenge and change us. In Jesus' name, amen. Peter begins the letter by saying to people, arm yourself, arm yourself. There it is in verse 1. And that's kind of quite a controversial thing in America, isn't it, at the moment? People arming themselves with assault rifles in their homes, which is bizarre. But if you're a follower of Jesus, there's something else to arm yourself with, something else with which to get ready, get armed. And it's more radical and more powerful still. It is this. It is the attitude of Jesus, something earth-shattering and life-changing. Arm yourselves with the attitude of Jesus. Now, when we look at the Bible together, there are all sorts of different kind of ways each passage helps us. Sometimes we're looking at something about the character of God, maybe his love or grace or mercy. Sometimes it's the depths of our sin, it's human nature that's been looked at, or what Jesus has done on the cross and his work in saving us. And from time to time, we get a passage that looks at our worldview, our mindset. And today is one of those passages that seeks to take our current mindset, attitude, and change it, move it, transform it. It's a big idea, isn't it, the mindset, how we look at life and how we think about everything. And we've all got one. We've all got a mindset, a worldview, perspective, or principles. And God wants to shape those and change them. And this passage today is one of those passages. And the attitude being talked about is Jesus' attitude. And this attitude leads to a lifetime of ongoing change in a believer. So it's not just as we listen to a sermon that God wants us to change. He's in the business of keeping on changing us through our Christian lives. If you haven't yet come to Christ and you're thinking about it, then this is something that being a believer is about. We're not made perfect straight away by any means. But throughout our lives, the rest of our earthly lives, as Peter puts it, we're changed and keep on being changed and transformed by the work of God in us. A bit like the Forth Road Bridge, you know, that big bridge up in Scotland. And they said that when they paint it, they just have to paint it all the time. They start at one end, get to the other, and have to start again when they finish painting it because it takes so long to do it. They're always at work on the Forth Road Bridge. And God is always at work on us. There's always something to challenge, train, equip, inspire, mature. And the Holy Spirit is at work in us doing this, but also it is something we have to cooperate with. So Peter says, arm yourselves. He says, there's something to do here. Arm yourself. So what is the attitude and what changes is Peter looking at? Let's dive into the passage. So verses 1 and 2, like Jesus, whatever happens, live for the will of God. Like Jesus, whatever happens, live for the will of God. Actually, this is the attitude that Peter's been speaking about since the beginning of the letter. And we keep seeing this coming up again and again, don't we, as we've gone through the letter in the sermons. And in a way, it's kind of obvious, isn't it? You know, if you're believing in Jesus, well, what could be more obvious? Like Jesus, whatever happens, live for the will of God. But it needs saying. We need reminding again and again. Because when we're battered by opposition that we face because we trust in Jesus and other people know about that, maybe where you work, maybe certain things you can't do that you used to be able to as a Christian, maybe in your family, maybe people you love, really, it gets on their nerves that you believe in Jesus. And it's easy to be deflected by that and find ourselves not on the right track anymore. And so Peter comes back to us and we have an opportunity again to think again. Like Jesus, whatever happens, live for the will of God. Have a look at verse 1. Therefore, says Peter, linking back to what we were seeing last week, since Christ suffered in his body, summing up last week, arm yourselves also with the same attitude. because whoever suffers in the body has finished with sin. As a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. There's lots of shorthand in this couple of verses, lots of ways in which Peter is referring back to chapters 1 to 3 that we've already looked at. So, since Christ suffered in his body, he's spoken a lot about how Jesus is our motivation and our model, as well as being our saviour. So we're to look to Jesus for motivation when we face opposition and trials, and keep going in the way that Jesus did. So back in chapter 2, if you've got the Bibles open, it's the other side of the page, verse 21 to 25. He says this in verse 21, "To this you are called, to living a good life, even though you're suffering, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you example that you should follow in his steps." So there are footsteps marked out for us to tread in and follow Jesus through worldly trials and suffering. Jesus suffered, and Peter goes on to say he won salvation. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, verse 24. That's how our sins are forgiven, because Jesus took them away on the cross. And he did that so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. So he saves us through this suffering that he endured, but also he models for us this new attitude for our minds. We might call it a Christian lifestyle attitude, following in Jesus' footsteps. So Jesus suffered in his body. Since Christ suffered in his body, verse 1, arm yourselves also with the same attitude. So we put on this mindset that Jesus had, that I'm going to keep doing God's will, even though it's hard. And then he says, because whoever suffers in the body has finished with sin. Now, you read the books that write about the Bible, and people have lots of different ideas about what this is about, because it's not immediately obvious. He's not just saying, if in some way maybe you get your leg broken by someone who doesn't believe in Jesus, then suddenly there's no more sin in your life. Whoever suffers in the body has finished with sin. He's obviously not saying that. So what is he saying? Well, kind of bringing it all together, what the commentators say, and summing it up, he's looking back to what he's already been saying. And it goes something like this, summarised. If you're a person who is prepared to suffer for Jesus, then you're also someone who's a done for sin, done with sin kind of person. So the two go hand in hand. If you're going to suffer for Jesus, as he's been talking about, so submitting to authorities and slaves, bearing with unjust suffering because of Jesus, if you're that kind of person, well, be a done with sin person as well. And what does he mean by done with sin? That's going to come up in verse 2. But both of these, suffering for Jesus, being done with sin, they're part of this Jesus attitude. They're part of discipleship. So verse 2, as a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. So it's a mindset change. Here's the new attitude that comes from Jesus. Not living for the world's things, but putting them aside and seeking to live for God's will, what he wants. Like Jesus, whatever happens, live for the will of God. Now, in a commercial airliner, you've got two pilots at the front. And before every flight, before the airplane pushes back from the stand, they will talk to each other about what they're going to do on the takeoff and what they'll do if an engine fails or there's a fire. Every single flight, they do this. So I flew 1,200 odd flights, 1,200 odd briefings, didn't need it once, never had an engine fire or failure on takeoff. But we did the briefing, we were ready. And Paul says, Peter says, be ready, arm yourselves. Are we ready? Have we taken on board what he's saying and done our pre-flight briefing for living the Christian life? Are we ready to face opposition for being a believer? Now, some of you are sitting there saying, whoa, talk to me about my life. Maybe your partner is very disagreeable about this. Perhaps you work in a workplace where people really have a go at you. Or it's just difficult because of the way things have changed. So perhaps opposition is part of your life already. Maybe, and you don't know this, that it's in the short-term future, perhaps in months to come, there will be something that you're not aware of yet. Perhaps you'll live a kind of charmed Christian life and never really face it. Praise the Lord. Whatever, are we ready? Arm yourselves. Let's get our thinking sorted out so that we can say to ourselves, I will, like Jesus, whatever happens, live for God's will. Do that. Follow those footsteps. Different kind of footsteps in the posters, isn't it? In the posters, somehow Jesus miraculously carries you all through and you don't feel it. In Peter's footsteps, you actually tread in those footsteps and feel the opposition, and Jesus is with you and he's your model in it. Much more accurate kind of footsteps. Like Jesus, whatever happens, live for the will of God. Well, Peter's readers might be saying, what is that will of God? And he goes on in verse 3. Not for judgment. So there are ways of living that lead to judgment, God's judgment. There's a problem that we humans have got, and that's this. We've devised all sorts of ways of not living for God. Lots of ways of going against what the Creator has designed. So instead of valuing and desiring God and what he wants, we value and desire other things that he doesn't want. Almost everything else, in fact. It's like he's made an amazing ship, and we decided to mutiny on that ship. We declared mutiny. We're rebels. We're rejecting God and his goodness. And for that, God rightly says we have to give an account. There is judgment to face. Now also, wonderfully, out of his love, God has provided salvation. And so when we become aware of this rebellious nature that we have and we turn to Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, I forgive me. I admit that I've not been the person I should be. I believe that you're the Saviour, the Son of God. I want to turn my life around and follow you. When we repent and believe, there's salvation by his amazing grace. And if you're someone who's been saved, then, Peter says, verse 2, as a result, you do not live the rest of an earthly life for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They're surprised that you do not join them in their reckless, wild living, and they heap abuse on you. You see, there's a way to push aside. And as we trust in Jesus, God is at work helping us have that desire to put those things to one side so that we don't live for the things that bring judgment. God is at work in the believer helping us change. It's wonderful. And part of coming to Jesus is repentance. Repent and believe, says Jesus. And repentance, we can describe that as turning our lives around and our thinking around. Another way of thinking about it is moving from that sphere of influence of the world and all our sinful desires into the sphere of influence of Jesus as Lord. So it's a real turnabout repentance. So Jesus is Lord in our lives and not TikTok or Instagram or Facebook. And with Jesus as Lord, we want to change. Now, Peter's honest about this. They might laugh at us. They're surprised, verse 4, that you don't join them in their reckless wild living, and they heap abuse on you. But the sad thing about that is the very people who heap abuse on believers are those who are going to give an account, verse 5, to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. And verse 6, for this is the reason the gospel was preached even to those who are now dead, so they might be judged according to human standards in regard to the body, but live according to God in regard to the spirit. So God's judgment isn't just for people who are alive. It's for the people who have been alive in the past. And some have heard the gospel and believed, which is great. And so they'll come to resurrection life. But there'll be a day when the living and the dead will be judged. That's the good news of Jesus, is that there's rescue now through what he's done. So like Jesus, whatever happens, live for the will of God, not for judgment. Did you enjoy the Queen's Jubilee? One of the fun things was seeing all the pictures of Prince Louis, wasn't it? and all those wonderful faces that he pulled. I wonder if he knew. I wonder if his parents briefed him that every move would be recorded on camera. Everywhere he went, there'd be 12 cameras looking at him, ready to publish what he did in the newspapers. Well, that kind of breach of privacy is pretty grim, isn't it? But God sees even more of us. Here's what the writer of Hebrews says, Hebrews 4:13. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Verse 5, they will have to give account to him who's ready to judge the living and the dead. I wonder what human desires I'm holding on to, or you're holding on to, that are against the will of God. Maybe you look at verse 3, you think that's a bit strong. Debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing and detestable idolatry. Come on, we live in Morden, not Sutton. Sorry, apologies to Sutton dwellers. But in our hearts, where are we with these things? And sorry to say, there is some of this going on, isn't there? We can't divorce ourselves. We can't say, no, we're not influenced by what's going on in the world around us. How different are we to the world around us? Jesus calls us to this lifetime of ongoing change. And that means looking at our lives from time to time, on Sunday like this, when we're prompted by the scriptures, and just saying, well, where have I got to? How am I doing with the Holy Spirit working away at me? How is God calling me to change this week? How is God calling you to change this week? What is it we've spent enough time doing that's in the judgment sphere rather than the living for Jesus sphere? It's a great little phrase, isn't it? You spend enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do. Yeah, time to stop it. What is there in your life? What is there in my life? What is it we're going to have to give account to him for? And maybe if it's not drunkenness and orgies, how about Jesus' words from Mark 7? Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, evil thoughts, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person. Not for judgment, brothers and sisters, but this new attitude, like Jesus, whatever happens, live for the will of God, not for judgment, but to glorify Jesus. And the changes that God wants to make in our lives as we trust in Jesus and live for him, as we go on in that Christian life, are wonderful. Peter encourages a new lifestyle for these suffering, done away with sin, believers. Verses 7 onwards, prayer, love, hospitality, service. And this lifestyle honours Jesus. It honours him directly as a believer lives for him in their lives, but also as a witness to him, as others see this wonderful way of living and think, well, Jesus must be great. Now, as we look at these, it's worth thinking, which of these would I like to grow in? What can I work on this week with God's help? So have a look at verse 7. The end of all things is near, yes? Jesus will return. And to him, 1,000 years is like a day, so he's not late in coming, as Peter says in his next letter. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Prayer. Prayer involves confession, thanksgiving, prayer for others, praise for God. Do you know the little S-T-O-P, stop thing? Sorry, thank you, others, please. Things we can pray for. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. And love includes forgiving, doesn't it? And in a Christian community that loves each other and is ready to forgive and help each other, that's the community that grows in Jesus. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Yeah, it's hard work, isn't it? Tidying the house up, buying the food, making it, all that stuff. But do it. Build relationships beyond Sundays. Do it over a cup of tea and cake or a meal. Each of you, verse 10, should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Here's another way in which God is generous to us, not just in the gospel in rescuing us, but enabling us to serve him. How can we use what he's given us to serve him? And a new goal for us in that service: if anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. We do these things. We serve, we love, we pray, we give hospitality, not so that others look at us and think, wow, what a great Christian. Also, we can stick it on TikTok. Am I praying? But so that God can be glorified and Jesus praised. So this is great, because it takes us back to chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, which were really important when we read them the first time, and they still are. Listen to this. Dear friends, I urge you, as foreigners and exiles, to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans, the unbelievers, that, though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. It's the same, isn't it? Peter is hammering on this attitude because it's so important. And what we're looking at now in this passage in 4 is how do we live these such good lives amongst the unbelievers? One of my privileges as a minister is getting to see this happen. And so I see or hear of a meal made for someone and taken round, or a lift given to someone. With a holiday club, there was someone turning up just after 8 o'clock in the morning each day, setting up things for the kids so they had a nice time. There were people who stayed late to help with gazebos and stopping them, putting them up, stopping them falling down, that kind of thing. Acts of service and bringing praise to God. And I praise God for those things that I see. Someone might say to you, well, I'm not sure about becoming a Christian because Christians are killjoys. But we look at these qualities that Peter's encouraging us to seek and with God's help to grow in: love, prayer, hospitality, service. These are wonderful things. Christians get abuse heaped on them. Verse 4. But what Jesus wants actually in us is something that builds, isn't it? And not destroys. These are wonderful things. So what do you want to grow in? What will we grow in this week? Prayer, maybe? Love? Hospitality? Service? Brothers and sisters, are we ready? Are we armed with this Jesus mindset? How is God shaping our attitude? Like Jesus, whatever happens, live for the will of God. Not for judgment, but to glorify Jesus. Maybe there's something you thought of, something to stop, spend enough time doing. Maybe there's something to spend more time on that has prompted you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you work in us through your Spirit as we read it together. And you point us to our Lord Jesus and set our eyes on him, our Saviour and Lord. Thank you for his rescue that is by grace alone. Thank you that we would be incapable of being perfect for you, but in your eyes we are through all he's done. Thank you. And as we continue to repent and believe, help us to be shaped, and for this attitude of his more and more to be ours, that whatever happens, in whatever opposition and difficulty we face, we keep living for you, and we wouldn't be looking for those things that lead to judgment, but to those things that glorify you, with your help. In Jesus' name, amen.